Welcome to the fellowship-wide call on Spirit-Led Income Generation Without Debting. This call is presented by DA's Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. This is the mission statement of the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus. The Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus serves to support the DA Fellowship in gaining clarity around issues of earning in the DA program. Our vision is to broaden the fellowship-wide understanding of how spiritually sustainable earning fits into DA recovery, encouraging a comprehensive and spiritual approach by working the 12 steps and using the tools of Debtors Anonymous. My name is Julia, and I am a recovering debtor from Austin, Texas. Our call today will include three speakers on the topic of spirit-led income generation without debting. The speaker portion of this call is being recorded, and all speakers consent by their participation to having the recording uploaded to the DA website at www.debtorsanonymous.org/podcasts. On this call, in keeping with the traditions, please practice anonymity by using first names only, and help us to keep the focus on the 12-step recovery program of Debtors Anonymous by leaving out other affiliations, other philosophies, outside publications, religions, and other 12-step programs. After the speakers, we will stop recording the call for a sharing portion. Anyone wishing to share will have 3 minutes each. This part of the call will not be recorded. All callers have been placed on mute. Press star 6 to unmute only if you are participating in the call or during the sharing period. Each speaker will have 15 minutes, and Joan will be the timekeeper. Thank you, Joan. Our first speaker is Mike, who will share his experience, strength, and hope in regard to spirit-led income generation without debting for 15 minutes. Mike, welcome to the call. First, would you like any time warnings?
Can I be heard? Please. This is mine?
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful if I can get 5, 5, and 3. So I guess when 5 minutes has elapsed, then another 5, so that'd be at 10 minutes and then at 13 minutes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Okay, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike, you may begin.
Wonderful. Hi, guys. I'm Mike, and I am a debtor based in Los Angeles, California. Really grateful to be here this morning with all of you, participate in my own recovery, and hopefully be able to share some experience, strength, and hope with all of you. I'm grateful to all of you who do service at this meeting, and for the person that asked me to come on. It's still a trip to me to be asked to share experience, strength, and hope, because I still feel so much like a newcomer in this program. But, you know, what I've learned through my recovery is that my mind and what it tells me isn't always reality. My thoughts are real, but the experience of them isn't reality. And thankfully, through God's grace and through the 12 steps of Debtors Anonymous and through the fellowship and the tools of the program, PRGs and all of the tools that exist, I don't have to believe the lies that my mind manufactures. I came into DA in March of 2021, but I started getting solvent in June of 2021. I go to the Miracle Mile meeting here in Los Angeles Saturday mornings, and I participate in the tools game. And I'm sharing all of this because if you're new, these are the things that really help me, and we're here today to talk about spirit-led income. And I don't know why, but when I first got asked to do this, and because we're in the month of December, somehow, like, spirit, I kept thinking Christmas spirit, and I'm like, what does any of this have to do with Christmas? And it turns out it doesn't have anything to do with Christmas. It has to do with, you know, I'm here to talk about how I practice the principles in all of my affairs. And so, you know, I'll give a little bit of my backstory just to qualify. You know, I'm a debtor through and through. I didn't know that. I have a mentality of self-sabotage. I ran a business for a long time. And when I came into recovery through another program, and I ended up in the seat of DA because I was spending more than I make, I realized that, wow, I, the way I ran my business was how a debtor runs a business. And I learned that in the BDA meetings that I go to. I didn't take vacations. I didn't track my hours. I didn't think about whether or not my actions were going to generate income and be profitable. I had this naive mentality that if I just showed up and did well for my clients, I'm in a client-based business. If I showed up and did well for my clients, that things would work out fine. It'd work out best for me. I had good intentions, and if I followed that up with good actions, that I'd be taken care of. And unfortunately for me, as a person who suffers from the disease of debting and didn't have a spiritual way of living, though I had good intentions, my actions rarely followed suit. And so it talks about that in the big book of AA, where, you know, my intentions might be great. My intentions might be right. But unfortunately for me, my actions, and what I realized is my actions are based in a place that isn't spirit-based without this program. I operate from a place of fear. I operate from a place of lack and of inadequacy. And what the program, what all of those tools that I spoke about, doing the work with a sponsor allows me to do is build a connection with my higher power that then allows me to be right with myself so I can take that into the world. In the program, right, we're then when I'm usefully whole, one day at a time, this is I get a daily reprieve based on my spiritual condition, daily reprieve from incurring unsecured debt, right? When I'm free from debt and I'm no longer scrambling, trying to rob Peter to pay Paul, to pay off this and move the, you know, I'm making, you can't see me because we're not in person, I'm not on Zoom, but I'm moving my hands around. Thank you very much. I hear that. I'm doing the shell game. I'm thinking that I can move the things around, and that I never realized. I thought that that was a superpower of mine, to be able to navigate through that. But it turns out it's just a whole huge amount of wasted energy. And so in that business, that ultimately, I was going to say failed, but that's not actually the case. But the business that I survived, right, I was expending a whole lot of energy solving problems that I created and felt like a superhero because I'm a good problem solver. But when it was shown to me that there was a way of living based in the 12 steps of recovery where I'm not going to say problems don't exist, but they are minimized, and I realize they are. I realize that they are what they are by talking to sponsors, by working with PRGs, by having outreach fellows and action buddies and tools game partners. Then it allows me to again go back to that place of usefully whole, and not only bring myself to service within our recovery community, but to take it into my business. And that's been such a revelation for me. And so I had to do a lot of work. You know, I'm still working through my steps, but I'm participating in my recovery each and every day. And I'm utilizing all of that to then go out and spirit-led, because I'm right with my higher power, I'm in connection with my spirit, then I'm working on what's best for my clients. And what's best for my clients is to generate income. And I'm paid on a commission basis. So when it's best for my clients to generate income in a sustainable manner, in a debt-free manner, not taking on unsecured debt, working with business plans, walking through reasonable and rational decision-making, looking at, do my actions result in profits, understanding where the profit margins are, doing all of the things that I hear in the tools of BDA, but actually having simple next indicated actions to be able to do those things, then my clients whose careers I'm growing generate profit, and therefore I generate profit. The company that I work for, I'm an employee at a company, but I have a deal based with that company that as the, you know, that as the income is generated, I participate in that income. But I do it all from a place of what is best for my clients. And again, I thought that I always was doing that in the past, but it turns out that, you know, I used to think I don't make decisions based on what is going to benefit my bottom line, like what's going to come into me. Again, my intention was to base it on what is best for my client. And it wasn't until I came into the 12 steps of recovery that I was able to align those things to actually take those actions and do that. And so, you know, what does that look like? It's all kind of, you know, as I'm talking through it, great. It's pretty general. And what does that look like specifically for me in my life and in the business that I operate in? Again, I get to bring these principles, practice these principles in all of my affairs. And so my clients who are entertainers, I get to work with them and we get to set, you know, it's such a perfect time of year because we're at the end of a year, and I've had the best year in my entire life as far as income generation. And I want to tell you, believe me, deep down, I want to tell you that the 20 plus years that I've been doing what I do, it has nothing to do with the spiritual element of my life. I want to tell you that my time has just magically come. But the fact of the matter is, I've heard so many of you guys share that when you came in and surrendered to, you know, a power greater than yourself and worked these steps, similar things happened to you. Sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. And my fear is, well, great, this is such a good year, but it won't continue into next year. This is a fluke. But ultimately, because I'm able to live in the here and the now, I'm going to take it for what it's worth. I came into the program, I started doing all these things, and the specifics of how I showed up in my business changed. And therefore, the results are different than they were in the past. They're better than they've ever been. Will it continue next year? Thanks so much. I hear that. I surely hope so. And what I know is, even if the business isn't as great next year as it's been this year, I'm going to be okay, right? Because I've got a relationship with a power greater than myself. And so, you know, I started doing a lot of through a PRG, it was suggested that I come up with some manifestations. You know, I could borrow from the gentleman that suggested a number of the ones that he used in his business practice. And I spent some time researching what other manifestations look like. And so every morning when I'm done with my prayers and I read through DA literature, I say manifestations. You know, one of the funniest ones that I still, it's almost like I'm hesitating to say it because I almost chuckle, but, you know, people love to give me money. Like, I mean, to me, it just, it was almost like cringeworthy when I started saying it. But ultimately, by saying that and a number of other manifestations, I'm going to take a look at some of the ones because I have them written down. And I think they're helpful to share because for me, I would have never, ever, ever done this on my own. It would have been way too hokey. But, you know, saying things like that have helped me. I have to believe it. You know, money is an unlimited resource and it is always flowing my way. I'm a multimillionaire just for being my loving self. I'm in harmony with the energy of money. Money always comes my way with ease and grace. Every day I'm becoming wealthier and wealthier. And I take that into my business. And so how do I show up for my clients? You know, I bring these principles and we have business plans. And we have specific actions. And though my clients aren't necessarily spiritually based, I get to bring this calm and this resourcefulness into their businesses. And I get to, again, look at, you know, my clients are very lofty. They've got, you know, they're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and they dream very big. And I want to be able to allow them to dream big, but also ground them in the reality of, well, we can't just spend, you know, we have to have a plan for how we're spending money, how that's going to generate income, because ultimately at the end of the year, even if we've done so many fun and exciting things with our content and with the art that they create, if there's not income that's left for all of them, they're going to, you know, we're all going to be very disappointed. And so for me, you know, it's really about applying these tools, you know, regularly. And so many of the other things that I do, I take contrary action. You know, I don't want to, I don't want to go out and make phone calls to drum up new business.
3 minutes.
I want to just, thank you so much. I just want to hope that, you know, things just continue to come in, but that's not the case. I need to take specific actions. And, you know, I do that. I write daily kind of goals and to-do lists of things to do, and I ask my higher power for help. You know, again, that's the spirit-led element of, you know, generating income on behalf of my clients. And, you know, when I first got into my PRG, you know, I had one client and I wanted more. And one of my PRG people said, well, you should come up with the traits of an ideal client. Because in the past, I would just kind of pick up clients if they wanted to work with me. And I wouldn't really vet them in advance. And so through that process and through continuing to, you know, just lean into the tools of the program, last year I ended up with a new client. And they're not generating a ton of income for me yet, but there's a bunch of potential. And I should say more, there's plans. There's plans for them generating a lot of income for me, you know, and the company that I work for next year. So I realize my time is coming up. I'm just here to tell you that for me, this program works. When I shine on the left, sorry, when I wax on the left, it shines on the right. And so for me, just continuing to show up day in and day out, going to meetings, touching base with fellows, doing PRGs, working through the steps, taking indicated actions, that to me has been what's allowed me to connect and stay usefully whole with my higher power, which is the spirit element of it. And that in turn allows me to go out and do the best that I can for my clients to generate income. I hope I've said something that has helped somebody. If not, that's okay. There's two great speakers up after me. So thank you all for allowing me to share today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for sharing, Mike. Our second speaker is Christy, who will share her experience, strength, and hope in regard to spirit-led income generation without debting for 15 minutes. Christy, welcome to the call. First, would you like any time warnings?
Yes, I would, please. Can you hear? Can I be heard?
Yes.
Okay, great, please. If I can get 5, 5, and 4 warning, please.
Okay, Joan, have you heard that?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. So when you say do you mean 4 minutes left or 1 minute left?
A 1 minute warning, please, at the end.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you may begin. Thank you.
Thank you. I want to thank the Spiritually Sustainable Earning Caucus, all the service that you've done to get us here today. And Mike, thank you for your lead. My name is Christy. I'm calling in from Santa Barbara, California. My home meeting is Brentwood BDA in 9 o'clock on Saturdays. It's a hybrid meeting. And I redefined the topic to help me to define what I was going to talk about today. So how does God help me live below my means and not let my means define me, and also to help me earn? I'm just going to talk a little bit about what it was like. I was kind of groomed to work hard and make a lot of money and get a lot of things along the way. I spent most of my life doing that. I was always able to make money. Somehow I became a collector and a compulsive spender along the way. So the money that I made would go into material things that I thought would make me happy. It took me coming into 12 steps to realize that that really wasn't working for me. As I started working the steps, I realized that fear was just under the surface of everything. All my answers rooted back down to fear and just trying to stay ahead and letting the things define who I was. So for most of my life, I'm a business owner. I have been a business owner most of my career. You know, my work defined me. I overworked. My things defined me, my house, my whatever. And I was not living a spiritually based life. And it took me a long time to realize that I wasn't happy. And really the 12 steps have been the biggest gift I've gotten in my life. I read lately that God, in my pyramid, God should come first, and then my program, and then me. And so I have realigned my life to look like that. My program comes first before anything else, because if my program and I'm not aligned with God and in conscious contact with God, which is my goal every day, then nothing else seems to work in my life. And I'm really, you know, working too hard to make things work. I'm trying to force a solution without having the answers and without looking up to God to help me. So one thing I will say that I used to be the hare. You know, I would just go. I would just wake up. And I see now it was fear and anxiety that was the adrenaline and pushing me through every day. Get up. And it was just start. It was a green light until I went to bed at night. And I was exhausted. And I just did not know how to get off that merry-go-round. Now I know that being the tortoise, that is my goal every day. Be the tortoise, Christy. I do not need to win the race. I was a very competitive person. I wanted the cash and prizes. I wanted to win the contest. I wanted all the clients. You know, and I realized that was not living a spiritual life, but there is enough for everyone. I don't have to have it all. So I realigned to be the tortoise. I'm going to talk about some specific tools that I've incorporated into my life that have really changed my life and helped me to live in a serenity zone. My goal every day, from coming from a high and low, Richter scale, up and downs, to just trying to be in the gray and in the center and be in my serenity zone at all costs. It's taken me a long time to learn how to do that. I'm not always in that place, but the more I do this work and the more I work my programs, the more I'm able to stay in that zone. And the more I can let go and let God and trust that God has me and God is always going to have me, then my life just flows. The other realization is I often didn't think that God was with me growing up. And being in gratitude and realizing that I've always had an abundant life, I just couldn't always see that. So just the gratitude part of my program has helped me so much to realize that I am so blessed to have all the beautiful things that I have. And I've gotten this far in my life without those, you know, without program. So chances are I'm going to have those things the rest of my life. And my battle is the fear of the future. So for me, the key is to be in the day every day. So I'll talk about a couple of things that I've done to get myself there. My morning routine, I go to bed now at 9 o'clock during the week. I set my alarm, but usually I wake up before my alarm at 6. And I spend that first hour, before I even get out of bed, I meditate, I pray, I have a gratitude list, which was the very first thing my first sponsor gave me in one of my programs. So every day, I've done this pretty much since I've come into program, the list, the gratitudes I have, the things I'm grateful for that are coming into my life, and that helps me let God know what I'd like to have come into my life. I'm not going to hang my hat on that. I don't have an expectation, but I need to communicate what I'd like to see come. And then the things I did well the day before. So I love just, you know, recognizing my hard work. It used to be that I would have a long list and berate myself for the things I didn't do that I should have done, a very, very long list. So I've changed my perception and I'm much kinder to myself. So I start with that. I've also started journaling lately. That's been coming through as messages in different places that how journaling is so helpful for me to write down my feelings and put it on paper. And I do that and more kind of things come to the surface. I have a 5-year diary, a more kind of an event diary, which is also kind of interesting. What happened this day 5 years ago? What happened today? I do my morning readings. I have sponsee calls and sponsor calls early in the morning where I'm much more alert. So before I even get out of bed, I've spent about an hour of my time doing program. In my meditation, it will come to me, what do I need to do today at work? I used to spend a lot of time filling up my calendar, figuring out what I needed to do next week with clients. And now I don't put that pressure on myself anymore. I let it come up naturally into my consciousness. I go to my phone, I put down the time. The higher priority things are going to happen earlier in the day, and the lower priority things are going to happen at the end of the day. I also write it on paper when I get to the office because I like to just be able to see it right in front of me. And as I do those things, I cross them off. At the end of the day, I throw that list away and I start again tomorrow. My mantra when I go to work every day is I'm going to suit up and show up. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to chop some wood and fetch some water. Okay. And at the end of the night, when I'm doing my inventory, I ask myself, did you do your best today? And I do my best today. And that is a reasonable best. It's not an extraordinary subhuman best like I used to think I had to be that person. So self-care is the key for me. I used to really run on being hungry. I didn't have time to eat often breakfast or lunch. I would just go all day without eating. I would book appointments very close to each other, so I was always rushing. I realize now there was probably some excitement to drama and excitement and cutting things close, which was insane and not in self-care. So am I in halt? If I'm hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, I'm not going to be my best. So if I'm hungry, I still have to do this, make myself go get lunch, but I do try to tap into my physical feeling. If I'm hungry, I stop what I'm doing. I go get lunch. I go eat. Let's see. Detachment. Detachment is incredibly important for me. I was so emotionally attached to people, places, and things. You know, I was so wanting you to like me, and I was a big people pleaser. I didn't want to hurt your feelings and all those things. So a game changer for me along the way was it is none of my business what other people think of me. What I need to look at is what does God think of me and what do I think of me and who do I want to be? That is the age-old question, right? And that's part of what I've been doing in my 12 steps is to peel that onion down to realizing I have morphed into what other people want me to be, but that's really not who I want to be. It took a long time to realize that. So detaching from people, places, and things, detaching from clients, you know, it used to be if I got a big sale, that would be my day. If I didn't get the big sale, I would be affected by that, and that would upset me, and I would have a bad day. If a client bought from a competitor, it would hurt my feelings, all right? Not very spiritual. Now, you know, if you buy from me, great. If you don't buy from me, that's fine, too. We offer good customer service. We offer an amazing product at a fair price. We have great employees. That's all I can do. And if you want to buy from us, great. I've learned to not work with toxic clients. I get to trust my intuition. I don't have to feel bad about that. That is something I would never have allowed myself to do before. I have a pretty high threshold for toxicity, but it's getting lower. And one of my sponsors said to me once, he said, I pray for a lower threshold for toxicity. And I love that. If not, I don't think that's like a badge of honor for me to have a high threshold. I say what I mean what I say. I try not to say it mean, and I try to say it one time. If I say it more than once, I've learned I'm trying to control the situation. The word choice is
5 minutes.
Not very much. I love the word choice. No one is forcing me to do anything. I get to trust more and more my intuition, which I never used to trust, and I feel badly for that. You know, I used to look everywhere outside for feedback and, you know, suggestions, and I still do that with outreach and my PRG team and my sponsors, but at the end of the day, I get to, like, take what I like and leave the rest, and take what feels right to me and act accordingly. I have also learned not to be impulsive compulsive, which has been a lifetime behavior because of the fear. If I'm not sure, I have a 24-hour rule. I don't do anything for 24 hours. If I feel I have to do it tomorrow, then I make myself wait another 24. Because when I get that feeling, I will make a wrong decision or something that I regret. So I've learned to have patience. It's my time frame, it's not your time frame. If a client needs it today, if I have time to do it today and it's on my priority list, I'll try to do it today. If it's not, then I say, I'm sorry, I can't do it today. I have no problem setting those boundaries anymore, which comes to the balance and boundaries section. I don't overwork. I work the normal hours I'm supposed to work. I don't take my work home. I do not answer. I try not to answer work phone calls, texts, or emails on the weekends or after hours. That's huge. Unless I know who's calling me, I don't answer the phone. I get so many spam calls and spend so much time explaining why I can't talk, and it's frustrating to me. So I thought, if somebody wants to talk to me, they can leave a voicemail or return the call. I protect my time outside of work. I try to listen. I've learned that listening is one of the best gifts that I can give anyone. I'm in a beautiful relationship. I have a fantastic dog. I have wonderful friends. I want to have fun in my life. It can't just be about work and making money. I've learned how to save money and not to spend it compulsively. I have a lot of different savings accounts for different things and checking accounts thanks to my PRG team. I have an on-running list of what my net assets are monthly, so I can see they go up and down. I don't have an attachment to it. It's a number. You know, I know that clarity is important to me. I have to do my numbers every day. I do my numbers almost every day. I'm always current at the end of the week because I can get vague. That's part of my illness. When I'm vague and I don't have clarity, then the fear just comes right back up and those old stories come back to mind. I just got back. I took myself on a 5-day spiritual solo vacation, did a vision board. One side is personal life. The other side is my business life. I'm really into visioning and manifestation. And that has always worked in my life. I think that was one of the best gifts I ever got from my mother. If I believe something, I can make it happen. I love vision boards. Getting rid of stuff. I'm getting rid of a lot of stuff. It used to be all about the stuff, and now the stuff has become heavyweight for me. I never thought I'd say that. It feels really good to be getting rid of stuff and living my life in a more simple, keep it simple. I don't want a lot of heaviness. I just want light. God is in the numbers. God is my employer. Authority figures are not my higher power. Mediocre makes money. I've heard that in my Brentwood meeting. I love that. I don't have to be the star. I could be right in the middle of the pack, surrounded by the rest of my pack and a team member. Is that my time?
You actually have 1 minute, 21 seconds.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to just go through most of my little list. Principles above personalities. Things just don't get to me like they used to. The goal for me is to earn. How am I going to bring money into the business today? I know what our nut is. Our annual nut is pretty high. When we get there at some point during the year, I always feel a breath of relief, like, okay, we've made the nut, and the rest is going to be gravy. So being aware of that. Tradition 7, every group ought to be fully self-supporting by their own contributions. I also have to remind myself, and this kind of gets into the boundary thing, I'm not responsible for you or your emotion or your finances. So I have a strong boundary around knowing that I need to take care of myself and not other people. Confidence and intuition will replace fear and chaos. So my life is pretty stress-free these days. Also that I could be generous with my money and not be afraid that I'm not going to have enough. And I think that was something that I was just always concerned with. I didn't know how it was going to disappear, but somehow it was just all going to disappear and I was going to be, in trouble. So just knowing that, I could be generous. I could be clear. Having my 16 categories has really helped me.
That's time.
And thank you so much for letting me share. I really enjoyed this, and I look forward to the next speaker.
Thank you so much for sharing, Christy. Our third speaker is David, who will share his experience, strength, and hope in regard to spirit-led income generation without debting for 15 minutes. David, welcome to the call. First, would you like any time warnings?
Yes, thanks, Julia. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, okay. With 5 minutes left and 1 minute left.
Okay, so okay. 5 and 1. Got it.
Yeah, 5 and 1.
Thank you, Joan. Okay, David, you may begin.
All right. Yeah, hey there. I'm David in Maine, debtor, business owner. I'm really glad to be here. Boy, am I glad I went third. It's great to hear both of you. Very inspiring. I can relate a lot. And I wasn't nervous until right now. Let's see. Spiritually sustainable earning without debting. I'm really just, you know, really honored to have been asked, to tell you the truth. I, fortunately, I'm the GSR for my home group here in Maine. And 2 years ago at the World Conference, you know, they suggest that you get on a committee and a caucus. And I saw the list of caucuses and saw spiritually sustainable earning. And for some reason, it really appealed to me. I had no idea what it was. But I like the spiritually sustainable part, so I signed up on that caucus. And what great timing for me, because at that time, the group, the caucus, was coming up with the definition of what this is, you know, trying to refine it. It had been started before that, but trying to refine the definition and getting involved with putting the meetings together. And you know, I have to say that my concept of spiritually sustainable earning after this amount of time continues to evolve, continues to try to understand, you know, just exactly what that means. And I was on the meeting this morning, which is at 8 a.m., so I do want to put a plug in for the meetings. There's Sunday morning, 8 a.m. There's one on Monday at 4 p.m. These are all Eastern times, and then Thursday at 8 p.m., and I think I got that right. And, you know, I was on the caucus, we're coming up with a definition, and there's a chart of, like, what it's like to live and work that's not spiritually sustainable and what it feels like and looks like when we are doing something spiritually sustainable. So I need those constant reminders or understanding of what this all is. And to me, it's just spectacular. It's like I added a whole new angle and joy to my recovery, real rich enrichment to my recovery. Also just to have met all these new people. But, you know, just quickly, background, I certainly belong here. Lived beyond my means, gotten a lot of, just kept getting worse. Just in a free fall, debt, craziness, angst, nervousness, hopelessness, fear, just everything. And fortunately, coming from another program, someone suggested this, and I got in. And then eventually got a sponsor and started going through the steps. And I'm not an overnight success by any stretch. At the time when I got into DA, I was working for a company, and my vision was to always be a full-time artist. And through recovery, I've been doing it full-time, solvently, since 2013. So, you know, I'm very grateful about that. And working, what I learned about spiritually sustainable learning, like it says in the definition, I thought it had to be my vision work, and it doesn't. It's not the vision work. It's really my attitude. Am I in alignment with what my higher power wants me to be and do and feel? And is how I see it, as, you know, in an overview. And even when I wasn't working in my vision work, you know, the God job, B job, and I share this in meetings, and those have already heard it, I'm sorry. But this is my story. I got a job here in Maine, ended up working, started house painting because that was what's going to give me the most amount of money for what my skill level was, which was just, anyway. And that was not spiritually sustainable for me because of my attitude, not because of the job. My fear was all there. I'm never going to get out of painting. I'm always going to be a house painter. I'm never going to be an artist. It's too physical. I don't do this kind of work. I had a whole list of reasons why this was the wrong thing to do, yet at the same time, it helped me stay solvent. It served its purpose. I you know, go back and forth between complaining and being satisfied with in the PRGs, talking to my sponsor, talking to friends, talking to my late wife about this stuff, and just trying to get perspective. And the whole, you know, the other part of this headline of the heading of this meeting is, you know, without debting. Well, that's, you know, the premise of this whole program. No matter what I'm doing, don't debt. So here I'm house painting, you know, griping about it, but at the same time, it was doing what it did, even though it wasn't easy, even though the income was very uneven, and there was a lot of stress still, and it was really tough to stay solvent, and I wasn't happy all the time. But what it did do with the guidance of everyone in recovery, it allowed me to start spending more time on my artwork. How am I going to make the segue? It wasn't going to be one day I'm doing the painting and the next day I'm going to be doing full-time art. I never wanted to work for myself, never, because of my lack of recovery and lack of self-esteem and self-hatred and incompetence and who do I think I am and all my own list of my own voices that told me that it would never work. But again, in recovery, you know, spiritually sustainable earning, you know, what I keep trying to learn here and keep trying to do here, and what I've heard the other speakers talking about, is my higher power, how do I get closer to my higher power? How do I hear? You know, what's that intuitive thought? You know, what's my spiritually sustainable learning is something that my gut tells me I think I want to do. It's something that feels right. It's something that it sustains me, meaning it feeds me, meaning I get joy out of it. It fills me up. It lights me up. It makes me feel happy to get up in the morning. You know, spiritually sustainable earning is the vision. That is, you know, that's living the way my higher power wants me to be. And a lot of what's gone on for me to help me continue to be, you know, self-employed, first of all, learning how to run my own business, which is a completely different set of being an artist or being any good at our profession. And I also want to say this before I forget, spiritually sustainable earning isn't for someone who's self-employed. It's like no matter what you do, just like, you know, I've heard from the other two speakers, that was a misconception I had, that it's only if I'm doing vision and it's only if I'm working for myself. Well, it's just not true. It's just not where we're going. You know, for me, it is about, you know, using my higher powers, using the talents that my higher power gave me. And one of the things I've heard over and over is, who am I to say no to the gifts that my higher power has given me? And that always gets my attention. There's a little background noise there. That always gets my attention. That the self-centeredness, the self-based fear of that prevents me from doing something that's in alignment with my higher power. So I constantly just try to, you know, see what's, you know, I do what other people have said. You know, I have my routines of prayer and meditation and speaking to my sponsor and getting on these meetings and getting onto other meetings. And, you know, I have to stay spiritually fit. And then the other thing I wanted to make sure I said was that, yes, I'm working in my vision, but that's not always spiritually sustainable. Again, because it goes back to it's not, my attitude is wrong. You know, I make stuff, right? I create stuff, and then hopefully I sell it. Well, if I'm making things and I'm doing it just to make money, it's not always spiritually sustainable. I might as well be making donuts. I might as well be a hardware salesman. You know, not that I'm putting those down at all, but that's not what I want to do. What I make, what I create needs to be in spiritual alignment as well. And I find as a small business owner and as an artist that is constantly changing. What sustains me, what worked for me when I first started my business was making production work because I did need a steady cash flow. And so, yes, I had these lofty ideas of being making just work that I wanted to make and everybody was just going to give me money for it. Well, that didn't work. And that idea wasn't spiritually sustainable, nor was it economically sustainable. I would have lost my solvency. So I, did production work and did it. One of the suggestions I had from a previous sponsor was bring God into everything I make. And that changed my life, right? Instead of me sitting down and having to crank out 50 whatever's, bring God. I only had to make one thing and do it 50 times is something I came up with, and bring God into every one of those. So once again, 5 minutes left. Okay. So once again, it isn't about the job. It's my attitude towards that job and bring in the gratitude, the joy, and the grace of doing what I feel I am meant to be doing at this time. And like I say, it's constantly changing. Now I'm in a point in my life where the work I'm doing is different. A vision of mine was to do public art work, things that are for public buildings or on display or whatever. And as usual, the other voice was, who do you think you are? You can't do that, blah, blah, blah. But I have to say, and I shared this at the meeting this morning, it was a DA success. Through the help of others in this program, day at a time, constant, and praying, please God help me, which is my favorite prayer. I filled out the form, wrote all the things I needed to write, took the photographs, and actually took a suggestion of conferring with someone who's done this before and has some expertise, which I thought that was a miracle of listening to my higher power. I filled out the forms and hit the submit button yesterday. And now I turn the results over to my higher power. You know, I'm in line with everybody else who's applying for this thing. I have no idea. But from a debtors anonymous, it's a success already because I followed through. I didn't let the addiction tell me don't. You know, so in terms of spiritually sustainable, it is. It did feed me. It made me happy. I was talking to a friend just before this meeting and talking about the joy in our lives of recovery and the joy of living is the theme of the 12th step, right? AA 12 and 12 in the big book. And, you know, I'm not doing this. I make enough money to stay solvent, right? I always thought it had to have a certain number attached to it, had to have a certain amount of things. I, too, in my addiction, thought I would never get there. It was all going to fall out tomorrow. The shoes are going to drop. I've been told many times I'm like Eeyore, you know, and I had to suck the joy out of success in a microsecond. I've got that great gift. You know, I think that's the gift of addiction to just ruin everything. And I can laugh at myself now. And to me, that's a spiritual miracle, you know, but I do take this extremely seriously, which is why I'm just so glad to be on this meeting and to be around everybody who's doing the same thing, right? We're all here. We're all here for the same reason. How do I live God's purpose? How do I have a life filled with meaning and purpose, a rich life? And I do have that today. I have to say that I'm the happiest I've ever been. I still feel like the best is yet to come. Things that were never in my vocabulary. And to that point, I just want to, you know, I'm not on a pink cloud here. I'm not skipping and jumping around. It's a daily reprieve, like we know. But by being spiritually sustainable, by doing things that I feel my higher power wants me to do, and if I have the courage, you know, and the power to carry that out, that's the key. Boy, I'm glad I remembered to say that. It's one thing to know, right, what my higher power wants me to do, but how, you know, it's a lack of power. How am I going to do this? Well, I got to get rid of this fear. I got to get rid of my self-centeredness and just somehow, you know, humble myself and continue to use the tools here. You know, I do speak to my sponsor every Tuesday. I do give PRGs. I get PRGs. I'm on the phone, you know, Zoom. You know, get to see people from all over the world. You know, if I'm not cured, You know, I am not cured by a long shot. This addiction wants me to drop all this stuff right now. You know, my addictive behavior says, hey, you're good enough. You know, do it tomorrow. Yeah, do your numbers tomorrow. You know, that's always there. And my own personal curse is the phrase of, that's good enough. That's good enough, David. Just hit send, you know. Again, that's my addiction. And thank you. And there's no higher power in that. I'm not making any room for my higher power. So, as a friend in another program says, you know, I'm further along than I was, but I'm nowhere where I want to be. And that's how I hope my recovery is always like that. You know, I can feel that I'm already getting like a little too jazzed up here. I got to calm down. the 12 steps, it's a miracle, more God. You know, I hit my knees and pray now, and I spend more time praying than I ever have. And I call in all the powers I can think of, you know, please help me. Please, God, help me. Help me be of service. Help me just do what the next thing is. Thank you. It's just, you know, it's a miracle, because before this, I didn't want to be here. I really just didn't want to be here in any form or another. So I'm really honored to have been asked, and there you have it. Thanks.
Thank you so much for sharing, David. Thank you to all our speakers today. We will now end the recording for our personal sharing period. Anyone speaking during this time will not be recorded.